Hey everybody, it's the 12th of October, and it is nice to have a little more fall weather here lately. I want to take a few days to talk with you and just give you some examples of prayers in the Bible, or people who prayed in certain circumstances. And in Genesis 18, we see that God had told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a baby in her old age, and God had promised Abraham that he would bring a great nation forth through him, and we call this Israel now, and God always fulfills his promises. But God also, in the same visit from two of God's angels, tells Abraham that he is going to destroy two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. These were two cities that were so evil and had so much evil in them. They seemed irreconcilable to God. And we watch something really interesting at the end of Genesis 18. We see Abraham go to bat to try to convince God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, these towns were not Abraham's hometowns. He was from Hebron, which was nearby, but these were not his hometowns, although his nephew Lot, that we learn about in Genesis, was staying in Sodom. So he pleads with God, in essence, and I'll paraphrase here, he said, God, what if there's just 50 righteous people in Sodom? Would you spare the city if there were only 50? And God says, well, yes, I would save the town if there were 50 righteous. And then he says, God, what about 5 less than that? What if there were 45 righteous people in Sodom? Would you not destroy it? And God said, okay. And then he says, well, how about 40 people, Lord, if I may ask? And God said, okay, what about 30? Okay, what about 20? I wouldn't destroy it if there were 20 righteous people. What about 10? And God said, if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, I won't destroy it. And so it tells us at the end of the Genesis 18 that Abraham went home after this. Now, as I look further on in chapter 19, I wish he would have asked God if there were 4 righteous people, because I think there were. But we see in Genesis 19 that Lot meets these two angels that are in human form at the city gate of Sodom. And this crazy series of events happen. I'll let you read that. It's definitely PG-13. But it ends up that Lot and his wife and his two daughters are told to flee. They actually were told to take the two son-in-laws, or soon-to-be son-in-laws, but they didn't think that Lot was telling the truth. They didn't take him seriously. They thought he was joking, and so they didn't end up very good. But it ends up that Lot and his wife and his two daughters escape, at least for a little while. Lot's wife, if you read chapter 19, you'll see what happened to her. But the cities ended up being destroyed by God. And so obviously there weren't even 10 righteous people there. In fact, there's horrific things that were happening there in town, even the day that these cities were destroyed. But it makes you wonder about this conversation that Abraham had with God. God had said quite clearly that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did. But we see that God seemingly changed his mind several times. We also see in the book of Jonah that God was going to destroy Nineveh, as we've recently talked about in a sermon series, and didn't because the people repented. We also see in Exodus, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and the people were worshiping idols, that God was going to destroy the Hebrew people. And Moses talked with God and pleaded with God and petitioned with God, and God did not destroy his people. There's a verse in James that I often mention in the 5th chapter and in the 16th verse that says, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." And we see these examples that we've talked about today, and we see people going to bat for others, and we see people repenting, and we see God changing his mind. And there are people who argue God never changes his mind, and you can pull out verses that say God's unchanging and God doesn't change his mind. But every single time that God seemingly changes his mind in the Bible, it is in favor of humanity. It is not the other way around. And so I say this today to remind us that we need to pray those bold prayers. We need to petition God for what we need. And that's what I want to pray about with you today. Would you pray with me? Father, we just give you thanks for another day of life. And Lord, there are things that seem impossible, things that seem to be already in motion that we can't stop. But your word tells us that we are to be fervent in our prayers. So Lord, for those listening today, whatever it is that's heavy on their hearts, whatever it is that seems to be paralyzing or seems to be hopeless, Father, we have seen in your word that you hear our prayers. When we're righteous, when we're upright, when we're seeking you, and none of these people were perfect that we've talked about. Far from it. All of them made mistakes. Abraham was a liar at times. Jonah was selfish. Moses struggled with leadership at times. The Hebrew people obviously had their issues. And Lord, you blessed them. You blessed them because your people came to you fervently. Lord, would you remind me to be fervent in my prayer, even when I don't see things happening. May I remain steadfast because you call me to not be fair weather. You called me not to walk the spiritual fence or to pray to you only when I seem to get what I want. But Lord, prayer is my form of worship to you. So today, whatever my friends and their needs are, Lord, we just lift them up to you. We petition you, Lord. Would you do something beautiful? Would you be glorified because of it? In Jesus' name.